Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio. It's July 1st, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar, who will be talking about the start of the semi-annual gathering of several galactic councils in the Teton Mountains. She has firsthand experiences at these meetings and a perspective that only comes from participation. Later in the show, we'll be talking about solar returns, which is your true birthday, and how you can use the knowledge of its power to manifest your desires. Before I introduce Lavendar, we invite you to call in if you have a question about either of these topics, and that number is 917-889-8292. That's 917-889-8292. Press 1 when you're prompted so we know you have a question, and we'll answer as many as we can near the end of the show. We'd also like to ask you to subscribe to our show by just clicking the subscribe button to keep you informed of upcoming episodes in our series of Galactic Training for Starseed. You can also visit our website, starseedhotline.com, or join our free forum at starseedhotline.ning.com if you have a question that isn't answered or if you're listening to this show after it aired. Now I'd like to introduce Lavendar. Why don't you start by telling us about the Teton meetings and start us off with some of the background and history of those meetings. Lavendar, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Arielle. Yes, this is Teton meeting time. It happens twice a year, January 1 and July 1. It lasts for 7 days both times. This has been going on for a very long time. I would say at least 14 generations back is when they started really tracking and letting people be aware of what was going on. I'm sure it was happening long before that. And let me say that I'm really, really pleased to see so many people that have been coming on the show and having sessions with me. I'm seeing last night was the first meeting, and I really was pleased to see a lot of the audience that I've been talking to at these meetings. I suppose that the ones that are drawn to our website and to this time, somehow it corresponds because there was an invitation given out to probably almost everyone that I have talked to in the last few months. I would like to start out by saying they first started calling this the Karmic Board meeting. It's really been a combination of Karmic Board plus genetic experiments discussed. And at the attendance of these beings, we have like several species coming in from different star systems and different parallel worlds, by the way, have shown up for some of these meetings. And we'll maybe talk about parallel worlds on another call. But the Great White Brotherhood, Guardians of the Devic Kingdoms, Starship Commanders of Intergalactic Federations, Ascended Masters of the Seven Sacred Cities, the Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, and usually there's only 6 members of the Crystal Roundtable of the Starship Bethlehem, but this year there are 12. Ascended Masters of all the 7 Rays of Initiation, and Council Members from Northern Shambhala. Those are the ones that come to the meetings every 6 months. And the reason for the 6 months is to help the initiates on the planet to come to these meetings, and they take people out of their bodies on an etheric golden beam of light, and they bring them inside the mountain in the Tetons. And when they first arrive, they're put into an emerald crystal computer. The computer then takes the information from the soul unit and will materialize in holographic form the person. It's kind of like the holodeck on Star Trek. Very, very similar technology that's used. This is very, very far-reaching technology, and only in the last 20 or 30 years have people been able to even comprehend such a magnitude of technologies brought together with soul participation. And last night's meeting started out with the genetic experiments on the planet and the 14 generations, using 20 years as a generation, took us back to about year 1730, when the French-Indian Wars were happening and the colonization of the West. And so the bloodlines of these, the experiments of the bloodlines, the Germans, the French, the English, the Italians, the Polish, the Russians, all the different mixtures of bloodlines that came from Europe and came from South America from 1730 on became a place of marked experimentation. And when I say experimentation, it's about being able to put forth in the bloodlines a certain quality of intent, and also to show people their natural states and their rites of passage, which of course happens in an astrological natal chart. And they can take a person's one drop of blood, when they arrive at these meetings, they can take a drop, if you're there physically, they take a drop of your blood and they can put it up on a screen. And the screen will show exactly the nature of the experiment and also the natural state of the person, what they're talented in, what their masterships are. It will also show the karmic reaction from other lifetimes, and that shows up in different squares or oppositions. The trines, of course, then show, that's 120 degrees, that shows the things that have been easy for them in other lifetimes. It shows mastership. It shows, I have to laugh sometimes because I look at a chart and I say, well, this really shows where the bodies are buried. Because really that's the way it works, because if you've been involved in war in other lifetimes, or if people have killed you and then in this, another lifetime, you come back for retribution, and to not so much the retribution that you would think of, but it's just the balancing of the energies. You know, what goes around comes around. And the one thing that we always remember is energy does not lie. Only people do. And you've heard me say that time and time again. So, Arielle, if you'd like to say something at this point before I go on.
I was just about to ask earlier, are these meetings hosted every year by the same person, St. Germain?
No,
they're
not.
Is it the same every year? Is it different every year?
On the one I was at in 1986, St. Germain was the host that year. They take turns. There are different starship commanders that usually host these meetings, especially if they have to do with the genetic experiments, which most of them do. I'd say 85% of these meetings are focused on the beings that are part of the 14 generation experiments.
So this is really a long-term project with increments of shorter-term goals.
Right.
As far as the 14 generations are concerned. And
right.
Then do they, at the beginning of the meeting, do they outline what they're going to be talking about over the next 7 days?
No. Let me tell you how it works. You go there, your energy is present, and you're only there probably for about 45 minutes is the maximum time. And during that period of time, the information that's given to you is given to you based on your genetics, based on your experiment that you're aligned to, and it's fed to you in a kind of a microchip implant of sorts. It's technology that's fed to you all at once. It isn't speech like we're having now. Okay?
It's just a download, and then you just suddenly know.
That's it. It's a download, and you suddenly know. Now, there are times when they are allowed to come together and have, you know, the physical presence. There are times during these meetings when that happens, but most of the beings that are beamed out of their beds don't get to attend those meetings.
Okay. Now, people that are there, whether they're there physically or whether they're there just as a life force, they most likely would have no memory of this, except for the information that they just suddenly are aware of?
Some do have memory. It depends. It depends on their consciousness and their ability to hold information within the DNA. It's a matter of sometimes memory. A person is allowed memory because their genetics hold it and carry it back. But most people don't remember being there, mostly because it wouldn't benefit the person to remember. You know, how would you? I know that from personal experience. I was one of those with my hand up saying, "Oh, yeah, I want to remember." And then later I'm going, "Please give me my shot so I won't remember because I really can't function for 2 weeks." So, and for those that are just curious and they don't want to participate, they just want to go and check it out and fold their arms and have judgment about it, that's not allowed. And if that energy does show up, it can really burn a person. So never be curious about these kinds of things. You have to really go deep in your soul and say, you know, if I'm part of this and I want to extend my energies in a helpful way, and it's something that I feel in my soul that I must do, then you ask three times and your energies will go on. And when the Starship Bethlehem goes across areas, they can actually look down through the houses and see whose light is on and who is ready to go.
And how many entities, energies, including the extraterrestrials and the human hybrid genetic bloodline on the planet, how many participate in this?
Every 45 minutes, there will always be 144,000. Every 45 minutes.
And is that a different 144,000?
A different 144,000 every 45 minutes for 7 days.
Except for the council. They stay the same, and it's the people that come and get their
assignment. You know, some of them change off. They come and go, and there's different groups that come from the Pleiades, from Lyra, from Cirrus, they all come depending on a genetic engineering god, we'll call him, comes in and says, okay, I really want to check on the group that went west to Colorado from, 1730. I want to see where the bloodline is, and I want to see how many people are still in participation. Those that are really, and kind of in charge of those experiments, those are the ones that come and check out, bloodlines from an area to see how many of those bloodlines still live in that area. And then, in 45 minutes, they'll leave. And then the next group comes in. It's like, They check on to see the DNA, the quality of consciousness. The levels of technology that measure this is just mind-blowing. But this is how it's done. This is how they know. They can tell by bloodlines if there's a war, coming. They see it in the blood first.
Really?
Yes.
What if, say, someone came to check on their bloodline and they saw that there had been interference from outside external forces such as electromagnetic?
Yes, that's a big, big energy move about that right now, and the reset buttons are happening. Everyone that goes to the Tetons now gets a reset button. Reset buttons have to do with giving you back your natural state, rites of passage, and your true intent and mission on the planet. Because the electromagnetics on the planet have skewed it, have messed with it and diluted it in such a way that people forget, you know, why they came here. And also, there are some sexual vampires out there that are in reptilian in nature, and they have gone around and erased a lot of really wonderful light workers on the planet through some of their kundalini activity, and we'll talk about that another time, but that was brought up last night, so that's kind of why it's on my mind today, is that the reptilian energy has kind of taken over the sexual chakras of a lot of people on the planet, and they're trying to run the show through the media, through the sexual ecstasy of their frequency, through music, through movies, through TV. It's really kind of gone beyond what we'd all hoped that it would go to. You know, we thought we had it stopped a few years ago. No, it's on the rise again.
And that's another reason for the reset.
That's another reason for the reset.
And do you think they're going to be concerned with or discussing our environmental problems?
Yes, that has been brought up, and it is an issue. Although there are people that will be assigned to go down there to those areas to simply just hold the light. Their energies are going to be monitoring what's really taking place through the genetics of that area, and that is a concern. A lot of beings were discussing, you know, the helpful ways that they could bring forth technologies to help in the matter, but every time that they do, there seems to be other energies that are blocking them from coming forth with the solutions. So, you know, the energies that were put forth to make that happen seem to have to run their course. And this only highlights the greed and the misuse of power on the planet. And, you know, it's choking the life out of the Gulf and people's livelihood. Of course, we all know that. But, yes, there was a short period of time where that information was fed to those that were, in fact, one of the first groups of genetics came from the French heritage from Louisiana. They were well received and acknowledged and were actually given a couple of double reset buttons because of the interference of the chemicals that are happening in that area.
So they're helping.
Also, I'd like to talk about the Galactic Secret Service. I call them that because
I interrupted you there for a second. I was about to say that they are helping in ways that we are not even aware of. Because I've had a lot of people tell me that, well, why don't the ETs do something? You know, and they are doing something, but they're doing as much as they can. But we still need to learn how unacceptable drilling for oil is, and sometimes you have to be backed into the corner before you put your foot down and say, that's it. We demand something else.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to conclude with that, and now we can move on, and you tell us about the Galactic Secret Service.
Yeah, okay. I call them that, and they call themselves that too, so. The Galactic Secret Service are beings that have decided to manifest in another dimension that can ride shotgun for beings on the planet that have assignments that affect millions of people. I've been part of this at different times when I've had assignments with very high-profile people either in the political arena or in the celebrity arena, where we had to do something in a day's time mostly, where this energy move would be the outcome of millions of decisions. And what would happen is on either side of my physical body would be these energies that would put out an energy field, and it's a golden hue that would come out around as I would walk and as I would talk and as I would be doing whatever my functions would be, whether it's be going through security at an airport or, you know, being in a congressional office or being, you know, in New York City, whatever. Whatever was taking place, I would have absolutely no interference from any other source, including astrals, including departments, or, you know, if they weren't part of what I was doing, they could not have a frequency to my radio. Does that make any sense?
Right. It's like back to natural, back to normal, like being in a room. If you're in a room underground,
right?
No ELF waves, no EMF radiation. Everything around you is perfectly
right.
What's the word? Unbothered.
Yeah. Unencumbered, yeah. And so at last night's meeting, the first round of the Galactic Secret Service was put in place for some of our leaders of our country and leaders of other countries. This isn't just for the United States, by the way. This is for the globe. So some really powerful beings right off some of the starships, you know, come, and they will have duty for certain energy moves on the planet. And a lot of these galactic secret service beings have been placed in positions where if anybody starts, you know, messing with the atomic bomb, they totally neutralize it. In other words, the guys that are sitting in these silos with the red buttons, they've got visitors.
Mm-hmm. Well, that we've always talked in all of our various radio shows and teleconferences, that is where the ETs draw the line. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No atomic explosions.
Right.
They will interfere.
Right. So the meeting started out, you know, with just bringing in the different groups, the genetic, the 14 generation experiments that have been going on since 1730 around that area. That was really the beginning focus of last night's meetings. And of course, I will have, the next time we do a show, I'll have more information about, you know, some of the things that were brought to bear and given back to the people to come back to their beds, to wake up, and to function with. You know, the DNA does correspond to planetary energies. And so a person that has, you know, their self intact and they're conscious and they meditate and they're aware, you know, when the moon's in Cancer, how they're going to feel when the moon's in Scorpio. If they're just aware of the different planetary energies that influence their lives, then their participation after these tetons becomes a little stronger and clearer, more clear. If a person knows themselves and how that these energies interact with them, then they'll go, oh yeah, the full moon. And during the full moon, I will have a completion time with what I'm doing. Or on a new moon, they'll say, oh yeah, this is the day to start the project that I was told about in the Tetons. Or they'll automatically go into it and do it from new moon to full moon, have no conscious memory of it, just do it anyway.
And since we've started these discussions on the Teton meetings, I know we've had several people actually jump in a car or an airplane, and they're out there right now. in that vicinity, are they likely to see the ships coming and going, or will they be cloaked?
Some of them are going to be allowed to be seen this year, mostly because there are certain beings that have jumped in their cars and they've gone to the Tetons, and they're there now. And if you're there now listening to this, we would love to hear any feedback that you might want to share with us about your experiences at the Tetons. And that I thought it was really interesting that Cheney was up at the Tetons, and of course the meetings, you know, started 2 weeks ago, really, for a lot of people. And he went up there, of course, to ramrod some of his natural gas energies that he's been working on to drill more and to frack more and to destroy at the base of the Tetons. And you know what? He had a little heart flutter and had to leave. So I don't think that was a coincidence. I think that was part of some kind of energetic plan that, you know, we just have to cease the destruction of the planet in the name of oil and gas and money. And I think that was just a little demonstration of you need to go sit down now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just my take on it. So, but yes, there is a place called the Nordic Inn by Alpine, Wyoming. I know some people have, called up and made room reservations. And there's some beings that have been stationed there for a very long time in that area that are walk-ins that simply have been guarding this place. And this is a pathway to inside the mountain. So I'm saying hello to everyone that's hearing me up there at the Nordic Inn, if you're there. We'd love to see you again.
And hear from you.
Yeah, and hear from you, yeah.
And
I'd like to kind of give a little update about the Earth's crystal grid system. You know, inside the Earth, we have a natural grid, and it's made of quartz crystal. And the one thing that's a common denominator between all planets everywhere is quartz crystal. And this is a common denominator. Why? The telecommunications. You know, every radio, every telephone, computer, everything has quartz crystal in it. Your brains have quartz crystal in it. So there's all of this quartz crystal activity happening. And by the way, there's going to be another rush on the planet for people to want to know more about quartz crystals. And that's coming probably after this meeting. We're going to see a rash of people running to the rock shops to get their quartz. Anyway, back to the crystal grid. So these crystal grids are being, the readouts have come back, and there's going to be some major earth changes and some really horrific loss of life is going to take place on the planet. And at these places where loss of life is going to happen, there will be beings that are, when people drop their bodies, there will be beings that simply take them aboard the ship, give them the decision at that moment in time. They'll have 3 days to make that decision, 3 days of Earth time, and the decision will be, you can go back and incarnate, you can stay aboard the ship, or there's a group called the Women of the Ethers, and you can go and empower projects from that position, or you can go off planet, you can go to another planet. And then there's 3 or 4 different choices after that, but I really won't go into that right now. But those are the basic choices. But these people that will be uplifted, they'll be uplifted as groups, and some of them will choose to stay as a group, to incarnate as a group. And this is about choices. You know, this isn't about somebody telling you what to do. This is about being able to be conscious and aware enough to say, you know, I really would love to go back to Earth, or some saying, I don't ever want to go back to that planet. I mean, we've heard it all.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a different, bit about what they want to do when they leave the planet.
I wonder,
so
I heard
something. Do you have anything you want to ask me about that?
I heard something the other day, and I don't know if I'm sure it will be discussed if it is indeed happening, that there was scientific data showing that the ocean floor off the coast of Australia was rising at the rate of 13 feet a day.
That's
alarming.
Yes. That is true.
Do you know about that?
Yes, I do know about that. It's happening in different places, also in Japan, and also in the South Pole and North Pole. There's really a strong influx has happened. They've had to switch the electromagnetic field back and forth inside the core of the Earth several times already, because there's been too much electromagnetic energies that have happened, not only from HARP and from behind the moon and different places. There's, you know, it's reset buttons are having to be placed in different places because of the immense amount of power and energy. The sun, for instance, the sun has triggered so many ahead of time activations because of what's happening with the sun. And by the way, a lot of people think we get our energy from the sun, and I guess we do. But let me tell you, the sun absorbs a lot of our energies. How do you think the sun keeps going? And that was part of the discussion last night, was about the sun and what the sun really does and how people are worshiping the sun by going out and burning up their skin. And, you know, they don't make a skin repellent for the kind of radiation that's coming now. If you think you can go out and put a 15 on and be safe, forget it, you can't. Because the damage that's being done by the sun now is a different frequency. It's a frequency that has really not been here for quite a while. And I'm very concerned about the grid, our electrical grid, because if a flare happens a certain way, if this electromagnetic energy happens in a certain section of the planet, it could take down our entire electrical system. And our government's been told, they've been told what to do about it, and they've done nothing. All they'd have to do is go and build certain structures between these power centers and keep it from affecting the entire electrical system. Because when that happens, computers go down, you can't get gas, you can't get food. You know, it's back to chopping wood and carrying water for a little while. And I don't want to put, you know, fear tactics out there on this show, but I must say that be aware, educate yourself, go on the internet, you know, type in these different things that I'm talking about that you can research, and you'll see for yourself.
Well, knowledge is power.
True.
And certainly, I would think not only the governments in this country, but governments all over the world have got their focus maybe in the wrong place, and they have a little bit too much arrogance, and they don't believe what the science community is telling them or what the ET community is relaying to them. And I certainly hope that they also have their secret service or galactic secret service to help them make wiser decisions and to help offset some of the walk-in hijackers that come and subvert a person's good intentions.
And remember, I talked about how many walk-ins came last November to the planet, and they, of course, took about 6 months to, you know, get adjusted, and they've woken up now, and they're getting ready to be of service on the planet in different places with, you know, all walks of life. And I must say that doctors, nurses, attorneys, people in power, all walks of life come to these Teton meetings. And it was discussed that some of the abduction cases that have happened years ago where people were, you know, taken out of their beds, not like what we're talking about now, that's different, but abductions where the aliens actually come and take you out of your bed, take you aboard a ship, and take part of your sperm or take some of your eggs or give you instructions. It's been talked about that some of the medical profession that was abducted years ago have now, some of those beings that were taken went to medical school, are now doctors, and they do have some remembrance of the abductions. So you're going to find within the medical field some of the doctors that are not going to have so much resistance to people that come to them with problems, mental problems, saying, you know, I was abducted as a kid, and I'm just scared of the dark. Or looking inside some of these mental institutions where we have so many starseeds locked up because nobody will believe them. So, you know, the generations have passed where they're not being believed. The new group, the new medical students, the new doctors that have you know, been surfacing in the last few years, they have more compassion, have more understanding, and they're going to believe their patients more readily.
Well, that's good news.
I know. It's very good news. There's been times when I just, you know, my heart just really would break thinking about some of the people that I know of that are locked up, you know, and they still talk about their experiences aboard spaceships, and they just keep drugging them to get them to shut up. It's really sad.
Well, that situation is not going to be eternal.
Right.
So
you want to talk about solar return now?
Yeah, I was just going to say if you have anything else you wanted to add. Otherwise, we'll go on and move on to the second half of our show. But before we do that, I do want to remind everyone on our website and on our forum. Our website is starseedhotline.com, and Lavendar's ebook has just been released. Her book on it's called 50 Questions and Answers, A Celestial Point of View, which is right along the guide, the lines that we've been talking with the Galactic Councils and a member of the Antares Arcturus Midway Station and a telethought communication that took place. And that whole conversation was transcribed and is now available as an ebook, and you can find that on the website starseedhotline.com. Just go to the headline news page, and you can see a free preview and get some more answers. So let's move on to solar returns.
I first found out about solar return when I lived in Las Vegas. I guess it was about 1977, I believe. I had a wonderful teacher. Her name was Joyce Wehrman, and her sun sign was 26 Sag, which I always thought was kind of curious. And that's, of course, a galactic marking. It's the highest mark you can have in your chart galactically is 26 Sag. And she was teaching me astrology and timing. And actually, you know, I was living in Vegas, so I said to her, you know, teach me about gambling. She said, well, before I teach you about gambling, I need to teach you about solar returns. And I said, well, okay. So I said, what is it? She was there. It was on my birthday, which was December 5. And she said, it's a 10-hour window. The 10-hour window of manifestation, she said, your blood crystals are going to be 1,000 times stronger than any other time of the year. And I said, well, what should I be doing? They said, well, make your list. And the moment of your birth may not be on the 5th. It could be on the 4th. It could be on the 6th. There's actually a mathematical equation that determines this. And I said, okay, so let's do the chart. So we did the chart, and sure enough, it was on the 4th. And it was a 10-hour window. It was, it started in the afternoon, and it apexed, I think, around 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. So I made my list, and I got in my car, and I went, and I had to go gamble it at Caesar's Palace, and the minute I won, I took the money and walked out, and then I went to a travel agency and looked at brochures, and then I drove a new car, and then I wrote music for an hour with a friend of mine, and so I just did all these things that I wanted to manifest for the coming year, in that 10-hour window. And I get back to the house, and I'm so proud of myself, and I'm, you know, I got my chest out, and I'm saying, look, this is what I did today. And I gave her my list. She said, well, I don't see a man on here. And at that time, I was just pretty sick of men, so I said, you know what? Yeah, bring me a man, but I want him rich. And I don't care if he's fat and doesn't even like sex. And she goes, oh. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I think you've manifested that. I said, oh, you're kidding. In two weeks, I manifested a man that was multimillionaire, very, very wealthy, and very fat, very obese. And one of the conditions was, I will be with you as long as you do not ever touch me sexually. So, the reason I'm telling this story is I was made such a believer about solar returns. I mean, it got my attention to the point of, well, you get the point.
Well, I'd like to just include here that this was before all of your galactic training.
Yeah, it was.
When we're talking like 30
yeah.
plus years ago.
Yeah.
Before all your galactic training and understanding and involvement with extraterrestrials. So, and I have to tell my story about that too. When you first told me about solar returns, I don't, you remember we went up on that mountaintop in outside of Cripple Creek, Colorado, and I was doing my manifestations and feeling really, really powerful, and we came back to the hotel, and I locked the keys in the car. And for that next year, everything I tried to do, every door I knocked on was locked.
Right.
So it can backfire on you. You have to be very, very careful what you do during these 10 hours, because you get what you, whatever, you don't even have to say what you want. It's what you do.
Well, the universe can't take a joke.
Well, that's right, you know, and if you're putting up with people that just always get on your nerves, you better believe you're going to be putting up with irritating people in some way for the rest of the year. So make the time sacred and special, and do not allow anything that you do not want echoing through the next year.
And, you know, these people that want to celebrate their birthday and go and get drunk, and, you know, and get, you know, just numb out, and then invite everybody they know, even the people they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the way people celebrate their birthdays, and then you wonder, and then they go and get the video, The Secret, and they study it, but then they wonder why it doesn't work for them. It's because on their solar return, they set the patterns for themselves for the coming year with energies that they, you know, if given a choice, they wouldn't have done.
Granted, and that's if they happen to plan the party during that 10 hours. That's why it's so critical to know when your 10 hours are, because it's based on when the sun returns to the same position that it was in when you were born. And because
it's a mathematical equation.
Right. I mean, it can happen before your calendar birthday.
Right.
Or even after your calendar birthday.
Right.
So, and I kind of like when it happens the day before, because I can do that the way I want it, and then, you know, people expect you to do something on your birthday, and you've already secured your year, and so you get two birthdays.
Right. And also, if you're in the presence of a very powerful being that has strong manifestation anyway, and then there you stand with your blood crystals going off 1,000-fold, but then you're with a being that their blood crystals are 10,000-fold, and you start doing something together, what do you think will happen?
Anything you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I used to have people come down to the island of Aruba and spend their solar returns with me, and I'd take them out on the North Shore and bury them in the sand, do a little meditation ritual, bring them up, go wash them off, and they'd write their list, and they would, you know, do whatever it was they wanted to do for the coming year. And I did this for many years. This was kind of in my other life.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I took the information that my teacher gave me, and I passed it on to others.
So if you have a birthday, what if, now you were telling me the other day, a transit, you're having a major transit on your solar return. Do you remember what you told me about the colors?
Refresh my memory.
You said if you're having a major transit on your solar return, that it's almost like manifesting a colored aura, if you will, around
you.
Oh, yes.
On your solar, your auric field goes through such a rainbow color effect. You know, say you have a Mars-Pluto conjunctor ascendant, and you get in a car, and it's on your solar return. It's the apex, and your energies are so strong. And all of a sudden, you're driving down the highway, and you're attracting all these people and cars, and then you're all of a sudden in a chain reaction of car wrecks. Okay? Just giving an example. Why? Because your auric field is like a magnetic field that's actually affecting people within your vicinity. It's like when you know you have a very dangerous aspect on your solar return, you don't get in a car or airplane. That's the malefic side of knowing about a solar return.
Yeah, well, then that's an inherent of Mars-Pluto.
But it's louder. At moment of apex, I'm talking about, you know, an hour there, okay? An hour.
Right, it's blown up huge like a black hole.
Okay, now like if you've got Jupiter-Uranus, you know, crossing the ascendant, you know, that's when you ought to be playing lotto or gambling. Or if it's the fifth house, knowing your chart, knowing your natural state, knowing your rites of passage, the more you know about yourself, the more you know how to plan your year for your solar return. So, you know, I really specialize in this because it's been something that has not only worked for me year after year, but it's really helped a lot of people on the planet to get in touch with, you know, their coming year. And not just to celebrate their birthday indiscriminately with office workers or, you know, neighbors across the street that you really don't like, you know, plan it with someone that's, you know, special to you and someone you want to be in your year, in your life for the coming year. I have people that will call me up and say, I want you to be in my, I'm calling you on my solar return because I want you to be in my life this year. And what a wonderful feeling that is to have that phone call. Or to receive flowers on their birthday to me. It's not even my birthday. It's their birthday, but they're sending me flowers. It's like,
right.
Wow.
It's an energy tie.
It's an energetic, yeah.
Right. Well, we have about 12 minutes left on the show, and we do have some people in the waiting room that would like to ask you a question. So I am going to, let's see, we have a caller from Area 405. Do you have a question for Lavendar?
Yes, I would like to say hello, everyone. Hi, Lavendar.
Hey.
And my question is how do you know your mission and where, if you're actually a starseed?
Well, when I do a person's chart, you know, when someone makes an appointment with me, I look at their astrological information, and it will tell me their natural state, and it will tell me if they're starseed, and it'll show me their rites of passage. And I have, you can go on our website and see Discovery of Star Markings and read the story. I won't take the time to tell about it now, but once you read the Discovery of Star Markings, you'll go, wow. Then you wonder if you have star markings yourself. And by finding your star markings, then that enables me to help you find your natural state, your mission, and to let you know whether you're starseed or not. So, it's a very easy way of activation, you know, just being able to come forward and say, you know, I want to know. You know, if you say it three times, there are beings and angels and beings around you that will help you and bring you the information that you need.
Okay. I believe that I'm one. Go ahead.
Well, if you
I'd like to add that there are a lot of people that just know. They just know they're starseed, but that's all they know. So with a confirmation chart, it helps to focus that and
right.
say, okay, here's the mark of the Pleiades, or here's the mark of the healer, or here's the mark of Galactic Center, and here's where you came from, and here's what your mission would be easiest. This mission would be easiest for you because it's your natural state. So it's a focusing, even if you already know in your soul that you are starseed, well, the next question is, now what?
Right.
So
yes.
That's what we're going for.
And 405, are you in Oklahoma?
Yes, I am to meet you, but I was introduced to you by someone else, and I've just now gotten the time. She told me that the show was going to be today. So I know that I'm supposed to be here in Oklahoma, and I don't know why, and I think you might be it. But I'm ready to hook up and get the heck on, because Oklahoma is not my kind of town.
Completely understand. I don't know why I'm still here either, okay?
So I do have your email, and I will definitely go ahead and contact you that way.
Oh, I'll be looking forward to it.
And what is
awesome.
What is your first name?
My name is Ginger.
Okay.
So we'll know when
Ginger.
We get the email.
Hey, thank
cool.
you.
Thank you. Namaste, sisters. You guys have a great day.
Okay,
thank
thanks.
You, Ginger.
Thank you. Great show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ciao.
So I might want to just add that the email address is lavendar, LAVANDAR, at starseedhotline.com. And see, we have another caller from area 720. If you have a question, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. This is
okay.
Sierra.
Hello, Sierra.
How are you doing, Ariel?
I'm doing fine.
Great. I wanted to just talk a little bit to Lavendar about what's been happening the last couple of weeks. It's interesting that you say that the meeting started a couple of weeks ago, because I definitely felt it, for sure. Not being able to sleep until a little bit later on in the night, and then wanting to just sleep all day, you know, getting a couple hours of sleep and then just being completely wiped out. And a couple nights ago, I couldn't get off the phone quick enough, and all I kept saying to a friend was, I gotta go, they're calling me. And I barely rolled over, and I was gone again. So it's just been really interesting, the experience that I've been having, and good to hear that not necessarily everything has to be retained consciously, because I've been playing around with the idea of, should I ask for it to be consciously retained or not? So it was something I was going to ask Lavendar. Lavendar knows me, and so I was going to ask you, Lavendar, is it something that I should be asking to consciously be remembering some of the stuff that's happening? Because I'm also, you know, working with a walk-in through this whole thing.
No, well, only if it serves you. You just, you know, it needs to serve you. If it doesn't serve you, you don't need it. But I must say, Sierra, because I know a little bit about your history and some of the galactic babies that you have been involved in with some of the beings that have given life to galactic babies are brought in as a group and a section, all of the, you know, separate from the other group, and they're allowed to have contact with their children at these meetings.
Well, that would be amazing. Yesterday I woke up, I had this feeling that I had a child with me the entire day. I felt like I was childlike again. I felt like I was looking at the world through childlike eyes, and I had this energy as a child, and I knew that someone was with me, and I'd giggled through the entire day and had just the best time. And so that makes sense. That would be really amazing if that was that I was able to be in contact with my child. That would
right.
be amazing.
See, most of these meetings now are really focusing on the genetic experiment, which includes the galactic baby experiment, which we'll have a show about that sometime, okay?
That would be great.
And Sahara, maybe when we do have the show, would you be willing to come on and talk about your experiences on the radio?
You bet I would.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day. Thank you for the radio show.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sierra.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, before I pick up the next caller, which will be from the 570 area, we've got about 4 minutes left, and if we don't get, if the show can end, and we'll still be recording and answering questions as we get through, I think we have one more caller with a question. If you do have a question, you need to press 1 so that we know that you're not just listening. And I'm now going to pick up the caller from 570 area. You're on the air.
Namaste, Ariel. Namaste, Lavendar. This is Maureen.
Hello, Maureen.
Hello. How are you, Lavendar?
Good.
Good. I have 2 questions for you, and they're really simple questions. I have do you call them the Giza or the Giza crystals?
The crystals, uh-huh.
Okay. And I was listening to your archives and heard you say that you had glued some of yours into the shape of a triangle.
Yeah, pyramid shape, uh-huh.
Okay, pyramid shape, that's it. Well, I made 3 pyramid shapes out of my crystals, and I want to know what to do with them now. Do I wear them? Do I put them under my pillow? What do I do with them?
I wouldn't wear them. It causes way too much energetics to try to function. I would put them, you know, somewhere at least 6 feet away from your where you sleep.
Okay.
And you can put them if you do feng shui, go mm-hmm. to the corner of the house where you want to manifest things in your life.
Okay.
If you do feng shui.
Okay.
Okay. Wearing them on your person,
mm-hmm.
I've done it. It's not a good idea.
I will agree to that, too.
Even go into why, okay? Just trust me on that. Yeah.
Okay. My other question is, I know that I have been to the meetings, not because I remember them, but because you have told me I have. I'm wondering, you and I had a conversation one time about how you have the marking on your thumb whenever you've been taken up into a ship.
Right.
Is there
shot marks on the thumb?
Yeah.
Keep you from remembering, yeah.
Is there any way or a possibility of getting a mark that lets you know that you have been to the meetings?
Well, the karmic board meetings are different than being taken up in the ship. It's 2 different energetics.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really leave marks on your body when you go to the Tetons. Not unless they take you physically. Now, you will have marks if they take you physically. But there's no really great need to take many people physically.
Sure.
Not unless you need to do surgery or something very... of which they will do.
Yeah. So how is one able to tell if they have a transplant?
An implant?
An implant, yeah.
That's a whole other subject matter, and I'm looking at the time. We have 2 minutes. I don't think I can...
that's like a 6-part episode right there.
Okay, all right, well... I thought I would just pop it in.
Well, I'm bringing the information out from the vault, and I've got like 30 pages written about implants and the history of implants and what I know about them and how they function and the different types. There's crystal, there's titanium, there's made with DNA. There's so many different types of implants that are functioning
mm-hmm.
on the planet. There's the positive implants, there's the negative implants. There's implants to cancel you. There's implants to empower you. I mean, I just could go on and on and on.
Is this something where the
implants?
Is this something where Lavendar? Is this something where asking 3 times will help?
Yes, it would. Ask 3 times, and you know, if you've got an implant, you don't think you should have it. Just say, look, if you brought the implant, if it's not here to empower me, get the hints. Use a lot of
times.
Okay.
Salt of the sour neutralizes a lot of implants.
Well, I know that 3 is the number.
Yeah.
And right. I actually made 3 pyramids out of my crystals, so 3 is definitely my number. So.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have just run out of time, although archived version of this show will be available in its entirety. I would like to thank you, Lavendar, for all this wonderful information. I don't know anybody else that knows this, that they haven't heard it from you, and it's something that I think the people need to know about because now's the time.
Right, and if someone wants to their solar return chart done, please go on our website and look at the solar return information, and, you know, we'd be happy to help you plan your 10-hour window for your birthday.
Okay, well, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us, and once more, I ask you to subscribe to our show so that you'll be updated on when we'll be back on the air. We're going to have another report before, towards the end of the Teton meetings, probably around the 7th of July. So watch the show page and join us next time on Starseed Radio Academy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Lavendar.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.